Previously on It's a Wonderful Law and Order Life, SVU.
But we also found a drug in her system. Her vaginal walls don't show any signs of bruising, but she was 2 months pregnant.
I'll let you know that I'm a jazz cigarette-crazed killer.
So what if I was banging the bride? They don't mean I killed her. Hee-haw.
Looks like everyone did better after you died.
Is Mary dead?
No, mister. In fact, she's right behind you.
Mary?
George?
Mr. Bailey, we're so sorry to have to question you again.
Oh, that's fine. Please, have a seat.
Squawk! It's the coppers! Hide the dough!
Don't listen to him. He watches too much Dragnet. Let me turn this off.
Shh! Ah, what's that?
Oh, sorry. That's Corny. He loves to sit in that spot.
Is he a mini dinosaur?
No, an iguana.
Oh.
Can I get you a drink?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
I'll take a flaming rum
Bert.
Punch. What? Fine, just a soda.
Let me...
I can help myself.
It's on the door!
So, Mr. Bailey, what we wanted to discuss is something we found on Mary's body. It's a...
Hey! There's a monkey on the fridge!
Oh, that's Mr. Quibbles. He won't bite unless you look him in the eye or make any sudden moves.
Eric, can I have anything?
Sure!
Mr. Bailey, we found...
Can I have some of this chicken?
It's not cooked.
Okay. Hey, get off me.
As I was saying...
Hey, I think he likes me. where's the bottle opener?
In the top drawer next to the fridge.
Anyway, what I want to know is...
Who's this a picture of?
Bert!
Okay, bossy pants.
You see, we found this piece of paper, and we wanted to know if it meant anything to you.
Well, maybe something.
Look, he said, staying on my shoulder. Who's a good little monkey? Huh? Are you a good little monkey? Yeah, you're good. You're a good little monkey. Also, I found something interesting.
The opener?
No, something else. A blood-tinged length of rope.
Squawk!
Bird, that's not mine.
Well then, who put it here? And what's this piece of paper we found on Mary? Some sort of threat you made to her? Pay up or I'll kill you?
But when she didn't, you went over there and you raped her and strangled her with this rope, huh? And then pretended you found your body yourself? Do I paint a correct picture or do I exaggerate? What do you think, Mr. Bubbles? Do I exaggerate, huh? Come on, fess up, Billy, you silly old fool.
No, you see, it wasn't like that at all. I was borrowing money from Mary because she had a lot of cash from Sam's operations. I gave her that slip to let her know it was the last time I'd need another loan because I'm giving up gambling. I mean, for good this time.
Sure, just like Mary was giving up heroin.
What?
And what about the rope?
Okay, I guess it's mine. You see, at first, I tied it around my neck to remind myself not to forget.
Forget what?
To do something.
To do what?
I forget.
Now, what's going on here?
George, what are you doing here?
Mr. Bailey, we were just about to take your uncle downtown for further questioning.
Yeah, it looks like Billy here is in the habit of storing bloody ropes in the kitchen drawer.
No. See here, leave Uncle Billy alone. He's done nothing wrong. This is all a witch hunt. It's a hoax.
Well, Georgie, maybe you want to tell us how you know so much about this.
Because it was me, see? I killed Mary.
What do we have here?
Hey, boss, George was just gonna confess.
Well, just in time then. Go on, Mr. Bailey.
Let's see. Okay, I was blackout drunk for most of it, so I don't really remember, but Clarence, and this is Clarence, by the way, he's my guardian angel, and well, He brought me to a place where I was dead, see? And Mary, she was the mayor, and also still alive, so that means that I did it, see?
What are you saying, George?
I'm saying I'm guilty, Clarence. Tell them.
Oh, all right. It was fun watching this man spiral out of control, but now it's late, and I've got a hot date with a pair of cute little angels half my age. So let's get on with it. I can tell you everything that happened. I watched it all.
You? What?
Oh, yes. I was there, George. I was there.
The evening before her murder, Mary was out at Sam's cabin with the guys from Sam's outfit. Mary had started an affair with him after he began supplying her with heroin to feed the opioid addiction she developed after Potter pushed her down the stairs.
Three aces, boys! Read 'em and weep, you losers! Yeehaw! Yeehaw!
Meanwhile, George and Billy were at Billy's apartment scrambling to respond to the audit.
Oh, George, I can't get these expenses to balance with our books. We're going to be in big trouble, George. Big trouble!
Don't worry about it, Uncle Billy. Those auditors are knuckleheads. They'll never notice. Hand me another one of those beers, will you?
In recent years, George had been trying to keep his business afloat by allowing Sam to launder his drug and prostitution money through the building he'd loan in return for land.
George, pick up these beer tabs, will ya? I have to keep sharp objects away from Mr. Quibbles. Just take them out to the trash.
Trash? Outside? Yeah. Sure, whatever you say, Billy. Or maybe I'll just put them here in my change pocket.
But a couple weeks earlier, the FBI had arrested George's brother, Harry, who had been instrumental in recruiting prostitutes through his wartime contacts. Harry had since turned state's witness on George and Sam in return for leniency. Around dinner time, George called home.
Hi, Zuzu. Is Mom home?
No. She left this afternoon with some guy in a gold Cadillac. Said she'd be home late. Me and the kids are going over to Grandma's house for the night.
Kids. Oh, the other kids, right. How many of them do I have again?
Knowing the guy in the Cadillac is Sam, George tells Uncle Billy he's going to get dinner. He stops by Martini's for a steak and four highballs, then drunkenly hightails it up to Sam's cabin. It was now about 10 p.m. George parks a good distance from the cabin and walks quietly through the woods. At the cabin, George looks through the window. Sam's boys were long gone. On a bearskin rug in front of the fire, Sam and Mary are sprawled out naked, engaging in some serious bondage stuff involving rope, leather, and a big jar of peanut butter, which...
What? Yeehaw!
George is enraged. He drives back to Billy's apartment. There, they continue working on the audit and drinking. After Billy passes out around 2 a.m., George staggers over to the Bailey house. After getting snagged by the clothesline, George tears off a length of the rope and sneaks into the house. On the living room couch, George finds Mary passed out. He tries to wake her, but when she doesn't respond, he grabs bottles from the sideboard and starts smashing them on the floor. Mary finally wakes up, and George attacks her with the rope.
Is this what you like Sam doing to you, huh? Huh? Is this what you want, Mary? You want the goddamn moon? Just say the fucking word, and I'll throw this damn lasso around it and strangle it to death, too. You ruined my goddamn life.
Say, wait a minute. How did the rope end up here?
That's a good question.
Well, after George killed Mary, he gave Billy the rope to burn. And to remind himself, Billy tied it around his neck. But after a couple of days, he forgot what he was supposed to do and just stashed it in the drawer.
But why is it stained with blood? I didn't strangle Mary that hard.
Oh, sorry, George. That's probably just pizza sauce from my takeout.
I have a question. If you were there, Mr. Guardian Angel, why didn't you stop him?
It's not my place to intervene. Plus, it was exciting.
Now, wait just a cotton-picking second. How do we know you're telling the truth?
Well, it's simple. Uncle Billy's beer tabs.
Huh?
Turn out your pocket, George. If they're there, then you did it.
Billy's beer taps. Billy's beer taps!
Now, Georgie, doesn't that feel better, confessing, huh?
I didn't confess. My guardian angel ratted me out. Clarence, why did you make me go through all that shit if you already knew what happened?
Don't you see, George? The afterlife is boring. And it lasts forever.
Well, now that Mary's dead, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next year and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet. I'm going to go see the world.
The only thing you'll be seeing is the inside of a jail cell.
Ah, damn it. What do you know, everybody? I'm going to jail.
Bert, please handcuff Mr. Bailey and take him out to the cruiser.
Gladly.
Hey, Bert, I'm getting arrested. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, sure. And since it's 1955, I don't have to read you any sort of wimpy liberal quote-unquote rights. I can just kick your ass.
My mouth is bleeding, Bert. My mouth is bleeding.
Don't worry. I'll go easy on you. Just be glad you're white.
Squirt! Don't drop the soap.
Oh, and Coulson, we just got more lab results back on the pharmacist's murder. Looks like Mary had also been sleeping with Mr. Gower, apparently in return for opioids. And she was pregnant with his child.
Wow. So when Mr. Bailey found out he murdered Gower in addition to Mary, is he the Mayberry mutilator? I remember that call.
Nah, that call was Potter trying to frame George as the mutilator and trying to throw us off Potter's tail.
So the Mayberry mutilator is actually...
Yep, Potter.
But how?
Well, we used a little police tactic we call lying. We told him we found matching droplets of his angry spittle at each of the crime scenes. Like, that'll ever be possible. So, he confessed, said something about his guardian angel setting him up.
But how could he do all those murders? The wheelchair.
Yeah, turns out he's been faking that disability all these years. And he just had a thing for murdering random people for kicks.
Huh. It's like rich people aren't always good. You don't say.
I do say. And listen, Coulson, one more thing. I've made a decision on that promotion.
Yes?
It's going to the one that deserves it the most.
Oh, ma'am, I...
It's going to Bert.
What? But, Lieutenant, I did the lion's share on this case. You know it.
I do, and you're doing a great job. But it's the 50s, and I don't think the department can handle more than one female in a position of power. Plus, no matter how nice I am to you, you refuse to date me.
But, Lieutenant, that's harassment based on my sex. It's sexual harassment.
Sexual harassment? That sounds kind of hot. But I don't think that even exists. And in any case, we're going to need to wait a couple decades before anyone cares about that stuff. So suck it up, Buttercup.
Strange, isn't it, Clarence? Each man's life touches so many other lives, and when he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole.
Yeah, an asshole.
Clarence, that doesn't even make sense.
Well, neither does the whole premise of this movie. I mean, angels looking down, watching people's every move? Sounds like the fucking Chinese.
You may be right, Clarence, you may be right.
But it's sad, ain't it? 10 years ago, George really did have a wonderful life. And now he's gonna have another life in the slammer.
Oh, God. Dear Father in Heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope, so to speak. I wish I'd never taken over Dad's stupid building and loan and stayed in town. I gotta get out of here. I've got a train to catch. See? I'll show them. I'll be good, and I'll get out of this crummy little jail, and I'll get them to see that George Bailey is a good, kind, and decent man. I'll fool them all. Look at this fly. I won't touch it. They'll see. They'll see that I won't even hurt a fly. God damn it, you little shit. I'll teach you.
Well, hey there, handsome.
Mary, you're alive. Aw, I can't even kill people right.
What do you say we skedaddle out of this little shitburg and see the world?
Heck yeah. Say, Mary, you don't hate me or anything, do you?
Oh, George. My George. I could never hate you. I understand. I kept you from seeing the world. Saddled you with 4 kids. Oh, and fuck Sam Wainwright for dope. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Won't you come out
gee,
tonight?
Mary.
Won't you come
I'm
out?
I'm really sorry about, you know, murdering you and stuff.
Eh, don't sweat it, honey. All marriages have their little ups and downs.
Thank you for listening. The actors in this production were Ben Crow as the Angel Joseph and the Bridgemaster. Dan Peters as the Angel Clarence. Tristan Radke as Uncle Billy, the Medical Examiner, and Animals Pecker, Corny, and Mr. Quibbles. Corey Ringdahl as Detective Burt and Announcer Number 1. Jackie Strebe as Detective Carol Coulson. John Brown as George Bailey and Announcer Number 2. Beth Piper Holtz as Lieutenant Shemansky, Zuzu Bailey, and Carmilla Martini. John Hansen as Henry Potter. Jen English as the Social Services Manager and the Ghost of Mary Bailey. Water Swanstrom as Sam Wainwright. And last but not least, Owen Crow as the Newsboy. This audio dramedy was created, produced, and edited by Paul Strebe. Script by Paul Strebe and Jason DuGray. Directed by Jackie Dutton Strebe. Recording by Water Swanstrom with sound design by Brendan Quinn. Theme music by Sean Leonhardt. This has been a half-assed production, all rights reserved. This is Paul Strebe. Thanks again for listening.
Half-Ass hopes you've enjoyed this program.
Ho, 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 ho.